Welcome to Falling Awake, Creating the Life of Your Dreams. This program, Listen Fully, is an excerpt from a 14-part audio workshop that took place at the Baker Park Retreat Center in the Black Hills of South Dakota. This program focuses on the seventh success strategy from the book Falling Awake. The entire workshop is available in an audio format and can be ordered at the website www.fallingawake.com. My name is Carolyn. I am narrating this program and interviewing Dave so that he can expand on what he is saying in the workshop. Dave, before we start the program, perhaps you could tell the people listening how they can most effectively participate in this workshop.
Often when people listen to a program, they do it very passively. And what I'm recommending is a much more active approach for you to listen as if you were actually in the workshop. The second thing is to participate like you were there by doing the exercises. I'm asking people here to actually engage in each of these exercises by writing and speaking. That's what I'm asking you to do so that you get the most value out of this one part of the entire workshop.
Now we're joining Dave Ellis and the participants in the Falling Awake workshop.
I realize that you've done a lot of work the last 2 days. And yet, I think that there's something even more important than your exhaustion, which is a skill called absorbing, listening completely, and hearing it all. Not necessarily from others. You've practiced that, and we'll practice some more of that this afternoon. But primarily what I'm recommending that you do is practice the skill of listening to yourself, to what you want, to what you desire, and trusting it. Because a lot of us are so busy and are up to so much and have so much stimulation from outside that it's hard to know what we want. It's hard to get in touch with what our desires are, particularly if you hang around with much media. And some of you do. Some of you have the radio on a lot. Some of you watch the television a lot. Some of you look at a lot of magazines, read lots of newspapers. And which is fine, except that it doesn't give you much time to listen fully, to listen soulfully. And that's what I'm recommending, is that you fully and completely listen to others, yes, and to yourself. And that you give yourself enough time to hear yourself. Now, the problem with the television is it's so compelling. It's so loud. It screams so much to all of your senses that there's not much left after you listen to it to hear yourself. Because yourself is a little quiet. I mean, that's who we are. We don't scream to ourselves. We're a little bit quiet when we talk to ourselves. And when we try and compete against that television, there's no competition. And the problem with the television also is that most of what it's telling you is to buy stuff. And that's what the TV's there for. That's what supports it. If it didn't fulfill its job of getting you to buy stuff, it wouldn't be there. I mean, it just couldn't. It wouldn't last. It does its job effectively. So when you sit in front of it, you're exposing yourself to a device that's designed solely to get you to buy more. And it works. Now, I know some of you don't have that same view of TV, but that's my interpretation. Try it on, see if it works. My interpretation is that that television got it put there and all those programs got sent to you only if you'll do your part, which is to buy more. Because if nobody did their part and didn't buy more, the programs wouldn't keep coming. So the message primarily is, you stink. Or, you don't look good. Your car is old. Your clothes are out of fashion. You stink. You're not happy enough. But if you buy our perfume, our clothes, our beer, you'll be happier. You'll smell better and you won't stink. Our car, another house, more debt, You may not agree with me, but test it out. Next time you watch TV, see if the message primarily isn't, you stink. See, people say they don't have much self-esteem. Man, given watching television for very long, how could you have any self-esteem? First of all, nobody looks real. I love to go to the mall and see if I can find anybody that looks like they could be on TV. You know, it's very seldom. Once in a while you run into somebody, but most people, they're way too ugly to be on TV. So most of us go to the mirror every morning, look at ourselves and think, well, we're way too ugly. Because everybody's more attractive than us. You know, and it's not just television, of course, it's magazines. Those beauty magazines that are designed to make you feel ugly. That's what beauty magazines are designed for, is to make you feel ugly, I think. Anyway, if you want to watch TV, you can, but be careful, because there's a pretty powerful message there. It's called, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you don't smell good enough, you're not happy enough, you don't have enough for sure, because if you did, we'd never be able to bring you this program. And so just be a bit careful, and when listening, listen fully and critically. Even on television. It's okay to watch. I love to watch television. I watch a lot of television. Just listen fully, soulfully, deeply, so we see what's being sent. Because it's not always that message, of course. Sometimes it's a different message. And when you're listening to another person, listen completely and soulfully. You've practiced that. We'll practice again. But the place that I'm recommending to start today in this practice of full and complete listening is to yourself. Primarily, what do you want? So I'm going to give you some time. I'll give you about 5 minutes, and I recommend that you write the answers on separate 3x5 cards. I know we started this yesterday, this what do you want? But I want to give you a little more time to listen to yourself. And particularly now that you've been practicing focusing your awareness in the moment, I want you to look to see what do you want right now. Literally, right now, what do you want? Now, for some of you, you might write down, oh, a nap. Great. Listen. And then after you write down nap, listen to what do you want. Some of you might think, oh, I'd like a neck massage because my neck's stiff. Okay, write that down. And then listen again. Oh, what's my body saying? What's my soul saying? What's my deepest message saying? Oh, I want to relax more. Good, you write that down. More relaxation. What do I want? I want to just stare at the snow drifting softly from the heavens. Great, you write that down. And just keep listening and writing. Just relax and listen and write, starting now.
While the participants in the workshop are writing, please pause this program and also write. On separate 3x5 cards, write what you want. Put one idea per card. Please pause this program now for about 5 minutes.
Now I'd like you to listen to yourself for about 5 or 7 more minutes while you get inspired by your colleagues. So what I want to do again is just go around the room and have each of you tell us one thing that you want right now. Now, it's not that you're going to get it right now, but what was one of those things that you discovered as you listened that you want right now? Now, as you go around and hear people, check yourself to see if you want one of those. And if so, say, oh yeah, I want one of those, and write that down. Now you say, yeah, but I've got all these cards. What am I going to do with them all? No problem. You're going to sort them. You're going to categorize them. And a lot of them you're not going to look at for quite a while. The fact that you've written it down, I claim, increases dramatically the chance that you'll get it. What do you want? Joe, we'll start with you. Just say one, and then just pass it around. We're going to go around quickly. We're going to be around the whole room in less than 5 minutes. So you keep checking it out. Do you want that?
To suspend all judgment.
Wow.
I want some dental floss.
Yeah. So, do you want that?
I want to look at my schedule and assess what to delete.
We just can take a kind of little breath between each one so you can kind of listen to yourself. Do I want to look at my schedule and delete? Oh, yeah. Do I want dental floss? Absolutely. Do I want to suspend all judgment? Yes.
I want a hug.
Ah, yeah, a hug. Oh, yeah, she just wants a hug. So you might want a hug. You say, well, I don't have to write it down. Yeah, but I bet if you do, it'll be more likely that you get one. See, I wanted you all to get a hug. So I wrote a 3x5 card not long ago, about 3 hours ago, and I put it right there. And then when the time came, I proposed it, and you all hugged each other. It's because I wrote it on a 3x5 card that you got one. And if you want another one, write it down. What do you want, Richard?
To get present clutter handled and keep home office space clutter-free to Carol's and my satisfaction by March 1st this year.
Whoa, yes, a timeline. That even increases it faster.
Intimate friends.
Yeah.
I want a soft, romantic bedroom in my new apartment.
As you're listening to the participants saying what they want, continue to write more about what you want. Use what you're hearing to inspire your desire. If you want it, write it. Now here are some more examples.
I don't want any more projects of obligation.
Yeah, he wants no obligation projects.
I want very few possessions.
I want a playroom. I don't know why, but it came up several times, so.
Great. Good.
I want more excitement in my life.
I want a partner of excellence to grow old with.
Now, remember, the goal here is not just to listen. See, some of you are just listening to the person speaking. That's not the process. The process is to listen to yourself. After you hear Judy, after you hear Ann, then you look inside and listen to yourself. Do I want that? Yes? No, not now. Yeah, Chris, what do you want?
I want to listen to myself more and give my desires more credit.
Ah, yes.
I want to hang on to this kind of a peace or calmness I feel so my thinking is not so scattered and I could focus better.
Great. Yeah.
I want to be unattached to my wants.
Yes.
I want to have a very special life habit changing evening with my family tonight.
Ooh. Yeah.
I want to achieve peace of mind.
Huh.
I want a compass and a large sheet of paper.
I want to take time to absorb.
I want a full month of total downtime in Hawaii.
Who wouldn't?
I want my wife to have a great birthday tonight.
Whoa.
Well, I want to accept imperfection.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I want my world and my work to be seamless and gentle fun, so it isn't crazy.
Yes.
I want to go for a hike in the snow.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I want to have a silent, observing mind.
I want a photo of the Black Hills that I can put in my study.
To have the night off filled with relaxation and entertainment.
Yes.
I want an evening movie and pizza with my kids.
Yeah. And I want you to have what you want.
Dave, so far you've been talking about listening to yourself. What about listening to others?
And that's where I'm now headed in the workshop. I'm about to explain several guidelines for effective listening. So now, while you're participating in this program, what I'm asking you to do is to look for how you can apply these guidelines in your life. Now, most of you, as you're listening, you know the fundamentals, like being quiet and using your eyes as well as your ears and not interrupting. But even though you know the fundamentals, you probably don't always apply them. So now, during the next few minutes of this program, while you're listening to these new ideas, look for how you can apply them. Here's what I'm going to be talking about. Number one is to avoid most questions. Now, I know this is an unusual idea, but that's the first idea. Number two is to not piggyback on what you hear. The third idea is to not to steal the topic of the sender. Idea number four is to avoid contradicting while listening. Number five is to fully allow in the other person speaking. Number six is to pull out what else is to be said. And the last, number seven, is to send constant affirmations as you're listening. So, while I present these ideas, please look for how you can change how you listen. When I'm talking about listening to yourself or to others, soulfully, deeply, I'm talking about extreme listening. And when you're listening to another, I'm suggesting that you do it without many questions. Now, I know a lot of you have been trained to ask a lot of questions when listening. Or a lot of you have just developed that because your parents did it or because your friends did it. But I want you to experiment with something different, which is very few questions. Because questions often direct the speaker in the direction that you want the speaker to go, rather than where the speaker wants to go. For example, a question will be, "Oh, you like skiing? Where do you like to ski?" Now, if the sender was honest, the sender might say something like, "I don't want to talk about where I want to ski. I wanted to talk about the kind of skiing that I really like, which is downhill skiing, fast skiing." So your question is a direction that steers the speaker. Don't do it. Don't steer the speaker. Allow the speaker to go wherever she wants, wherever he wants. Listening soulfully, listening completely, is not questioning about your curiosity. "Well, what is it about skiing that you like? I'm just curious." "Well, I know, but I don't want to talk about that. Let me talk about what I want to talk about. Quit asking so many questions." Listening soulfully is not piggybacking. Piggybacking is when you take the topic. "Oh, you like to ski? Man, I do too. I like to water ski. Let me tell you about the last time I water skied. It was last summer." That's not listening. That's piggybacking on what they're saying, and it's even stealing the topic. Because often the piggyback turns into theft. And the other thing about last summer is that we went to Europe. And I know they're skiing in Europe, but the point about Europe was, then we went to. So now I'm the sender. I'm not listening anymore. So what I'm recommending is when you listen, you don't question, hardly ever. You don't piggyback on the other person's topic. You don't steal their topic, and you don't contradict. Now, I know we talked about contradiction yesterday in listening and loving. "Yeah, but the problem with skiing is you could break your leg. A lot of people don't like skiing, you know." "No, but I was trying to tell you that I like skiing." "Yeah, I know, and I was trying to contradict you because that's what I do when I listen." And what I'm recommending is when you listen, you don't contradict in any way. You just accept, you allow. You don't have to agree, by the way. Do not have to agree with what the person's saying. A lot of times people think that if you don't contradict, you're in agreement. No, no, no. Person comes up to you and says, "Whoa, that election was close. That was, I was so glad that election, you know, and obviously Bush won." See, I'm thinking that, well, I don't know that obviously Bush won, but so I better contradict. No, but you don't need to. You just say, "Oh, yeah, so I got it. Do you think Bush won? And it was clear. Thanks for telling me. What else do you have to say?" I disagree with everything that you think. Whoa, no kidding. I'm glad to know that. What else? That to me is listening. It's absorbing the other. It's not an agreement. You're not saying that everything that you say is inaccurate. And once in a while you might ask a question, very seldom, just for clarification. Let's see, so like you think that everything I think is wrong. So you could check it out. But very few of those questions. And just if you're truly confused, you just allow in the other. Just completely accept them. And then you pull out whatever else they might have to say. Like this. Okay. All right. Well, that was a lot. What else? Tell me more. Okay. All right. Wow. Well, yeah. Anything else? Okay. So you be like a vacuum, and you're vacuuming out the other person's soul, and their consciousness. And they give you some, and then you see if there's any left. And when it's all done, then it's your turn. But not until they're completely finished. Listening soulfully is constant affirmation. It's accepting, allowing, permitting, embracing that other person's point of view. It's thanks. And you say thanks with your eyes, and thanks with your nodding of a head, and thanks with your words of appreciation. And you look for lots of synonyms for thanks. Like, wow, okay, yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks. Wow, far out. We're going to practice this in a minute because I consider it the supreme gift when you really, really listen to another without contradiction. Without piggybacking, with full affirmation, with asking constantly, what else? And what I'm recommending is you practice being able to do this so you can do it for not 5 minutes, 20, 40, 60 minutes at a time. Bill told a great story the last time we had a workshop about he was out in Washington, D.C. not long ago, and he was conducting a workshop for this staff of a foundation, and he conducted the workshop all day long, and he was tired by the end of the day, but one of the workshop participants wanted to talk to him, and so he went out and sat down with this woman who had quite a bit to say, and she wanted some guidance from Bill. So he said, well, tell me, what do you got? And she started talking, and about 5 minutes and 10 minutes and 15 minutes she's still talking. Bill's tired. He's thinking, wow, how long could this go on? And finally, after about 20 minutes, she stopped and she said, wow, I realized I had a lot to say. And Bill, being the expert listener he is, said, well, what else? And she said some more. How long did she?
Probably
45 minutes. So for 45 minutes, this woman just kept talking and talking, and she's finally done. What'd you do?
Just ask her what she wanted, and she told me, and I said, well, great. And asked her when she was going to do it, and she told me when she would do it by, and I said, great, well, anything else? She said, no, thanks. I was like, okay, great.
Yeah, no thanks. And the woman went away, contributed to dramatically, because this man had enough tenacity to be able to soulfully listen, even after a long day of work, for 45 minutes. So please, stand up and get a partner.
If you're listening to this program with another person, please follow Dave's directions as he gives them. If you're doing this program alone, please listen to the directions. And then, within the next 24 hours, listen to another person while practicing these techniques of soulful listening.
All right. and one of you be a banana and one of you an orange. Orange, raise your hand. Orange, raise your hand. Banana, raise your hand. Oh, you know what it means about you if you pick banana? Nothing. Now, banana, what I want to have you do is to practice listening soulfully. And just listening. Just completely absorbing. Now, I know that a lot of you have been trained to speak when you're listening. And you can speak a little, but not much. You can speak a little to affirm the other. To say, oh, well, good job. Thanks for telling me. I appreciate it. Way to go. Or, you know, things like that. Or, I'm glad to know that. You can speak a little if you really get confused, because I don't want you to be confused. But mostly, just allow in that other person. And then you can also speak once in a while, because when the person's done, you can say something like, well, what else? Because we're going to do this for long enough that the person's going to run out of something to say. Now, banana, you're a good listener, but orange might run out of something important to say. So that's your job, banana. Now, your job, orange, is to keep banana interested. Now, not entertained, but orange, your job is to say something intimate, really, true, authentic, real. Now, I'm going to give you some hints in a minute, but that's the overarching. Orange, your job is to say something real, authentic, intimate, true. That's your job. Now, what could it be? Well, here's a few ideas. One thing you could do is talk about what you want. Because often when we talk about what we want, it's pretty juicy. It's pretty interesting. So, in other words, the future. You could talk about that. You could also talk about yourself in terms of your fears, your hopes, your joys, your celebrations, mistakes that you've made, embarrassments, upsets. You can talk about yourself. Because when you really reveal yourself, not some story about yourself, but your real self, it's usually interesting. And it's fun to say. But now, Orange, remember, it's not your job. Your exercise, it's really bananas to practice listening, but give them something worth listening to. Got one other idea that you could send, and that is you could send something about your opinion of banana. Now you say, well, I don't hardly know banana. Well, no problem. You know banana well enough. You could tell banana about your relationship with banana. You say, well, we don't have a relationship. Oh, yes, you do. I assure you, you do. But you don't have to talk about that. It's just another possibility. So, Orange, your job is just to look and see something that would be interesting, intimate, authentic, true, and then send it over to Banana for 5 minutes. Go!
If you have a partner, practice listening now for 5 minutes.
All right, now we're going to switch places, but before we switch, I want to hear from a few of you bananas. And what I want to hear about, banana, is were you tempted to do any of those strategies that I talked about as ineffective? So, banana, when you were listening, because 5 minutes is quite a while. It's not 45 minutes, but it's quite a while. Were you tempted to question? Were you tempted to piggyback? Were you tempted to steal and run with the topic? Were you tempted to contradict? And if you were tempted, did you avoid it? So, in other words, banana, give me a little critique about how you were doing with the listening, Cynthia, and then Connie, and then Peter.
I really enjoyed this experience because it's where I'm moving towards, and I found my perfectionism going, ooh, if I ask that, is it a question of direction or curiosity? And then I would say, let that go and return to the thought. And it was very immediate and automatic, so that was really, really fun. And so I found intellectually just challenging, am I doing it right? That's the perfectionism. And every time I would go there, I would just say, drop that and return. So, you know, I very quickly kind of went, screw the right. Be present now.
Great. Thanks, Cynthia. Connie, how was it? How were you doing?
It was really wonderful because it was so interesting, and for me not to interject any of myself into her and just hear entirely what she wanted to say and have her say that to me and trust me to say that.
Great. Thanks, Connie. Peter, what did you learn about yourself as you practice that much listening?
I very much like to say, oh yeah, you know, this happened to me one time, and I didn't ever want to contradict, but I did want to steal the topic because, you know, I have too much of a sympathetic ear, I guess. I did want to, you know, tempted to question with direction. Oh yeah, well, check this out. You know, this is the direction that this conversation can go in regards to my interest. So yeah, it's very tempting.
All right, good observation, Peter. Two more to Joe.
True confession, I spent 20 years as a reporter. All I did was question for curiosity and direction my whole life, so I'm clueless with this.
Well, thanks, Joe. Thanks, because I claim that the road to mastery begins with cluelessness. So Joe's maybe closer than any of us, because he's just clueless about how to be a great listener. Thank you. So now, Banana, you're going to speak. And part of what I recommend that you speak is your opinion of Orange. Now, you don't have to do that if you don't want to, but Banana, you know Orange pretty darn well. As a matter of fact, some of you Bananas know more about Orange than Orange has ever told anyone. Right? Because Orange just told you some things that Orange has not revealed to many people. So you just heard 5 minutes of Orange. You've got some opinions, and one thing you could do is to start off sharing those opinions. You don't have to, but you could. But I do want you to speak, Banana, for 5 minutes, something intimate, authentic, true. Maybe some of your desires, maybe some of your future. Maybe some of your opinions and your relationship with Banana, or Orange. So Banana, you're talking.
Or with Banana.
Yeah. And Orange, you're just listening. Without these questions, without piggybacking, without taking the topic, without contradicting, you're listening with that full absorption for 5 minutes. Got it? Go.
Again, if you have a partner, practice listening now.
One of your assignments tonight is to practice that with at least two people. Practice that kind of listening with at least two people. And those of you who really want to do the advanced assignment, look for anger. Find someone. See if you can get somebody to tell you that they're mad at you about something. Now, I'm not saying go out there and make somebody mad. You don't have to do that because they're already mad at you. Probably. I mean, you're a human being. You've probably done something that people who care about you are mad about. And you haven't listened. You haven't heard it. I'll bet. Maybe. So the assignment is to go and listen fully and deeply. And the advanced assignment, for those of you who are so brave, is to go to your loved ones and say, you know, I've been learning about this listening today, and I realize I don't listen very well at times, particularly when you're mad at me. So I really want to practice, and if there's something that you've been mad about that you don't feel I've listened very well, I'd like to listen and really practice just listening to how mad you were. Can you imagine? Because you do something like that, you know what could happen? You could get both barrels. Bam! Well, you asked for it, you got it. I was so mad. You are such a jerk. You did that, it was so irresponsible. It just made me livid. Whoa, no wonder. Thanks for telling me. What else? No, that's not easy when somebody's mad at you to say, what else? Tell me more. I apologize, of course, and I can understand why you'd be angry. Tell me more. And you just absorb it. I'd like to do a fairly quick coaching, and I'd like to do it about a relationship problem. So if one of you have a fairly serious relationship problem in your life, and if you're willing to stand up here and talk to me about it as a way to more fully explain this concept, because this really works in relationships. And it'd be great if somebody... So, would you volunteer? Peter, I'd love to talk to you. Okay. Yeah, come on up. I'm pretty sure that you all have relationship problems. Yeah, I mean, fair to say, right? You got some relationships that aren't working so great, that could work a lot better. If you don't have any relationship problems, then what I'm recommending is you practice the success strategy of tell the truth. Because if you practice this success strategy, you will have relationship problems. And then you can practice the success strategy called listening fully. So what's a relationship problem?
Well, I just seem to have this problem with projecting someone, blaming someone else in particular that has raised me.
Good, it's a parent problem.
That's right, exactly. That their faults, I see in me that it's their fault that I have them. And right. So every time, every time I do this, whatever the particular trait is, which I could probably list with no problem, if my mom wouldn't have been that way when I was a kid, I wouldn't even have this problem, you know? It's all her fault.
Yeah.
And so, it's all her fault.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I go on and I blame, I get really irritated at her for other things, other imperfections that I see in her. And so, since she's my mom, I have no problem railing her because she'll always love me, you know, I mean, no matter what. And that's totally unfair. So I really take advantage of that. And I feel really bad about it afterwards, and she feels terrible about it. And I want to change her because I know that she's not totally happy. But trying to say, look, wake up, you're not happy, you know, it doesn't help because they just get defensive about it. And so after many years of telling her how imperfect she is, I have learned that she doesn't like that. So I'm trying to figure out another way to go about it so she can be happy, but I can't do it that way anymore. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Okay, well, this is great, Peter. This is a really good example. So you got this mother who's not perfect.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is in the job description.
Of course.
They're designed that way. Mm-hmm. And her imperfections bug you.
Extremely.
Yeah, of course. That's your job description.
Yeah.
That's really what kids are for, to be bugged by their parents' imperfections. And you get mad and criticize her.
Uh-huh.
And that's good. That's your job, again. You're supposed to. Well, I think you've criticized yourself for that, but
yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But then the relationship doesn't work so well.
Very poorly. Like, sometimes it's, it's gotten better, but it used to be like pick up that sock. I'm not going to do what you're telling me. You know, you haven't done anything. Your room's a mess. Why should I clean up my room if you're not even cleaning your own room? You know?
Good.
Yeah. So it's like, it's gotten better, but yeah, definitely.
But it's still not the way you want it.
No, I don't feel like I can pursue any of the goals inside that box until I can treat my mother with respect. Because if you can't treat your mother with respect, then you have a serious, it's like, all the things that your mother has done for you. Like my logical mind will go, well, you should be nice to her because she gave birth to you. I mean, for God's sakes, you're physically a part of her. And she's raised you and she's, mostly you're a pretty good person. And she paid for your, this and that. And she put all the clothes on your back and this and that and the other thing. But when she does those little things, just get so angry. You forget all about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The trying to remind yourself of that doesn't seem, well, the way I remind myself doesn't work. Or it hasn't worked yet anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're committed to having it work, though.
Oh, yeah. If I want to do anything, I have to do that first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get that not only do you have this concept that you have to, but you really do want to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I want to, and I've made clever plans to do it that have been foiled again.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've moved in the right direction. I've tried something, and it works in a certain way. But I'll say, it didn't. She still got mad as hell, so I got to do it another way.
Yeah. And you still get mad as hell at her too.
Yeah.
She gets irritated at you. You get irritated at her, and you're just at loggerheads.
Exactly. Rock against rock.
Yeah. Strength against strength.
Right.
And power against power. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Sandpaper against sandpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you want that to change, really want it to change.
I want to be able to just be, not judge her. Like, I can just as easily lie to her and say, oh, yeah, that's, I'm not angry. But of course, you're just going,
right.
You're biting the bullet and you're show it in your body language, in your eyes and everything. And so, of course, they know something's up. And then you can hold that back for so long. And then you explode.
So that doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
So let's talk about a new approach to mom.
Mm-hmm.
That I think will give you what you want, which is that respect and the cards in the box.
Yeah.
This is a brand new approach to mom.
Yeah.
All right?
Ready.
Listening soulfully.
Okay. Sounds nice.
Yeah. And not sending. Just absorbing her. Now, there is a time to send, by the way. It's not like you got to do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do it, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that you take anything that you want to send and you send it later. It's not that you can't send to your mom, because it's important to send to her.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even send to her when you're upset.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. And you can send to her when you appreciate her. Of course, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about that, though. We're mm-hmm. talking about just listening.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine with me what that would be like. Tell me how that might be.
It would be very difficult, because the way that she is that the way I am when I interact with her is that, but no, you're wrong. Oh, come on now, that's stupid. You can't believe that, interrupt and try to argue with them more. That's the way that we do things. And so listening would be totally contradictory. And yeah, I think it would work, especially because
this is great.
Especially
good turn.
Especially because if you do try to say anything, it just makes it worse. It's gasoline on the fire. It just makes a bad situation 10 times worse.
And Peter, I claim that that's not just a dynamic that's unique to you and your mother. It's not even just a dynamic that's unique to mother and son.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very universal dynamic, which is that when somebody is sending, like your mom is sending, she's got something, she's hot, she's sparky, because she's a strong woman,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So when she's sending and you try and send back, it just blows up. And that's not just between you and your mom, that's human nature, that's the way we are,
mm-hmm.
almost all of us. So when she's sending, what you could practice, what you're saying you're going to practice, is just receiving. Now, you can say a few words, you can encourage her, you can thank her for telling you.
She doesn't need any encouragement.
Yeah, okay, but what, let me practice this with you.
Okay.
What would happen if you actually encouraged her to send more?
She's so caught up in her argument, I might as well not even be there. I might as well just have an effigy standing there that she can berate, because it's not, I might as well, there isn't another person there to talk,
Yeah, it seems like it would go on forever.
Right, except to say, oh, you're right, I'm sorry, and feel very humble and kind of grovel and cower. Yeah.
Right, and I'm not suggesting that at all, because groveling and cowering and being humble is not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you grovel, you're sending. You get that?
Yeah.
You're sending back a message called, oh, I'm such a bad person, oh, I'm wrong, oh, poor me.
That's what she likes.
Has it worked?
I've never tried that, because that's totally contradictory to my relationship with her, because I don't let people do that to me. Because I don't feel that I ever am in the situation where I am such a horrible person that I need to lick the bottom of their shoes.
Right. So you don't know if that works, and I claim it won't work anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just, who knows whether it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm recommending you try listening.
Mm-hmm.
Complete, soulful, deep, extreme listening.
Mm-hmm. And this is just the one part. The part about responding is a totally different subject.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Your mom has no space for you to respond because she's got too much to say.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been listened to.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
She's got a lot to say, right?
Over and over and over again.
That's right. And it will go over and over and over again until she experiences being listened to. And until she knows that you've completely got it, and you've absorbed it, and you've incorporated it, and you've, you know, you don't even have to agree with it, but you've got it. You've completely soaked it up.
Mm-hmm. That's difficult because that's a personal thing of hers, though, that the way she explains things, and I don't know if this is a male or female thing, but it may like be involving something that's doesn't have anything to do with what I did.
That's right.
You know, and I'm trying to add 1 to 2 and getting 7.
That's right.
I'm not understanding how I got to 7.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because she's illogical.
Yeah. Well, it's emotional. It's
and
strictly
she's
emotional. Yeah.
And sometimes she's irrational.
Totally.
That's right.
Completely.
It's called being human.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you are too, right? You already told it on yourself.
Yeah. But I don't think to that degree. Yeah.
No, okay. You're not to
but
that
it's hard.
Degree.
It's hard to listen to someone when you're going,
I know it is.
Yeah, sure, okay. I can see why not putting away the pair of socks that I had at the bottom of the floor makes me an irresponsible student. Sure.
Yeah. Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
I know it doesn't, but that's not what listening's about. Listening is not about having it make sense. Mm-hmm. Listening is about fully and completely receiving the message and appreciating that she has that point of view. So it's like this. Whoa, so I didn't put away the socks, and it's just bugs the heck out of you, and it just drives you crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I understand. I just think that the part that I really get railed about is that I think that she's my mother, and when I see her being what I consider, well, I know she's my mother, and I realize that mothers are and parents are supposed to raise their children to imbue good values upon them, and I don't feel that the values that she is exhibiting when she's arguing with me about something that is really quite childish, and the way that she's dealing with it is very immature, and that she's totally overreacting and basically freaking out. And,
right.
You know, I'm saying, this is what I've got for a parent. This is what I'm supposed to do when
I
get angry.
I got it. I got it, Peter. And you're completely right about that, but it's not listening.
Right.
But that's not listening.
Yeah.
That's analyzing her. That's judging her.
Right.
That's arguing with her.
Yeah.
It's not absorbing her. It's not listening.
Yeah.
And when you do that, she'll just keep doing that.
Yeah.
She'll just keep sending you all that stuff until you do what's not easy to do, and that's to completely absorb her. Because she's irrational, right? She's irrational.
Sometimes.
Yeah. She's outlandish. She's emotional. Mm-hmm. She's illogical. Mm-hmm. She's judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
All I have to, but the part is that, no, I think, yeah, because usually what will happen, and I've tried it once or twice out of the zillions of times that we've fought, and what happens is that she usually ends up coming back and saying, look, you know, I'm sorry, I overreacted, you know, that was, but this is, you know, and then she'll just kind of summarize one more time to make sure that I understand and shove it down my throat one more time, and it worked really well, because I don't end up feeling bad about going, you know, accusing my mother and yelling at her and basically abusing the person that I should have the most respect for, and she gets the poison out of her brain.
Great.
Yeah.
So what I'm recommending is you even do more of that.
Mm-hmm.
More of that listening. But don't hold it. Like when she sends it to you, be like that sponge we talked about earlier. You receive it, and then you let it pass through. Because you know you're not disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're not immature.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're not those things that she experiences you as.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's okay that she sees you that way once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's just your mom. It's her job to see you that way once in a while.
It sounds to me like I just basically have to set aside my ego whenever I'm talking to her, because that's what gets in the way, is that my impression of her is projected onto me, like I said. And so if I just forget about that.
Great. Or forget about it just while the listening.
Right.
Just for that time of the listening.
Mm-hmm.
And then see what it works. It's just an experiment. I don't actually know for sure because, you know, I haven't been with you and your mom, and mm-hmm. we'd have to just experiment. It's just a tool. Mm-hmm. Just an absorber, absorber, absorber. Mm-hmm. Allower, permitter, acceptor, appreciator. Mm-hmm. Say, oh, man, Mom, thanks for telling me.
Yeah.
Glad to know that. Mm-hmm. Really glad to know that that's your point of view.
Yeah.
Let me see if I got it right now, Mom. So is this what you're saying? You could even do a little of that active listening, especially mm-hmm. in times of trouble. Mm-hmm. When there's a lot of stress and a lot of conflict, mm-hmm. once in a while you just say back, you say, well, now, what? I want to see if I got this because I know you're upset and I want to make sure I got it. So you're upset about the socks, the floor, and the mess. Is that it? Now, if she goes, yeah, then you hit it on the nail. Get the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. If she goes, no, it's not the socks, it's the irresponsibility behind the socks.
Yeah.
Then you say, oh, okay. So it's you're afraid that I'm irresponsible and it's showing up in my sock behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. She says, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Then you go, well, thanks for telling me.
Yeah.
Now, at that point, you've got more to say, right? You've got something to say. But button it up until later.
Yeah.
Like tomorrow. Sleep on it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what my sensei tells me too, so I think probably ought to try it.
Yeah. Yeah, and just try it. I mean, really, just try it.
Yeah, we'll try it out. We'll see if it works.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Yeah. Right. Wow, I love that. And a lot of you would like to receive that kind of listening, too. Of course you would, and you can get that. First, though, you give it. It's very hard to get that kind of soulful listening without first giving it. And sometimes you might have to give it for 45 minutes, 3 times in 3 days, before that person's ready to listen to you. Now you say, well, that's not fair. Well, of course not. It's just the way it is. But sometimes you listen 3 times as much. You'll listen 45 minutes, then 45 minutes, then 45 minutes, and then you'll get 5 minutes.
Dave, when you were coaching Peter, you talked about his handling the conflicts with his mother by listening a lot. You also mentioned that in addition to listening, there are other ways to resolve conflict. Would you speak about those?
I've taught a lot of courses on conflict resolution, and I know I didn't include any of that in this workshop, so I'm happy to talk about it now. Because I believe in dealing with conflict, there's a lot that we can do in addition to listening. I recommend the following 12 techniques.
I'm glad you had more, because listening didn't look like it was going to do it.
And sometimes listening doesn't do it. Because most of the time, in addition to listening, I think it's important to talk. And that's my first idea, which is to lay your cards on the table. In other words, say everything that's true for you and accurate for you. Take all your points of view, which you can imagine being on every card, and laying them on the table in a figurative way. Not presenting them like you are tied to them or hooked to them, but taking your points of view and speaking them to the person with whom you have the conflict. And then my second idea is to be willing to walk away with some new cards, or in other words, new points of view. So that once you've presented the ideas that you have to the other person, and then they've presented their ideas to you, that's the listening part that we've already talked about so much, then be willing to walk away from the interaction with new points of view, with new cards that you've picked up from the table.
I can see where you would want to be clear about what you want before you go to the table. So when you lay your cards down, you've already thought it through and have gotten clear about what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. What you want, what you believe, what you see, and all of that. Because generally when people are in conflict, there's a lot of lack of clarity on both sides.
And it gets emotional.
It gets very emotional, so that when you lay your cards on the table and when you listen, we come to my third technique, which is to know that it might get worse before it gets better. And that's what stops a lot of people from resolving conflict, because they aren't willing to have the conflict escalate. But in my experience, conflict often escalates before it de-escalates. It often gets worse before it gets better. So that's why this third idea for me is so important. which is to know that it might get worse and be willing to have it get worse before it gets better. Now, in the process of all that, there's strategy number four, which is to focus on the common ground. In other words, focus on what you and the person you have the conflict with agree about. What are those common principles? What are those common observations? What are those common desires that you're not arguing about? Because that brings you back to knowing that you probably have more similarities than differences. But in conflict resolution, we're focusing on the differences.
Well, that was four of the 12 conflict resolution strategies. What are the others?
Number five is to slow down the communication so that you're either sending or receiving. In other words, you're either speaking or listening, and you do it step by step. Sometimes you might just speak one day and then take a break. Literally sleep on it. Come back the next day and listen. And then the next day you come back and speak. Then the next day you come back and just listen. Now that's when conflict's really hot. But sometimes if it's not quite that emotional, you still want to slow it down so that you'll speak and then you'll pause and you'll wait an hour and then you'll come back and listen. You'll pause, you'll wait an hour, and you'll come back and speak. Now, again, that's when conflict's pretty tight and tense. But even when conflict is small, I'm recommending that you either speak or listen so that you give a bit of a pause between what it is that you're listening and what it is that you're saying.
That's really good, Dave, because what I see is that so many times when we're in the midst of conflict, we react to what's spoken. Then all of a sudden we become the sender when we were supposed to be listening.
Exactly. So the idea here is to be proactive in what you're saying and not reactive. Which brings me to the next strategy, number six, which is to listen for the request in a complaint. Because generally when people are complaining and you're listening to that, they're really asking for something. I mean, in the simplest example, if somebody comes in and says, "Oh man, it's hot in here," that's a complaint. And of course, what they're asking for is to open the windows or turn on the air conditioner or somehow cool it down. And when we're listening to other people in conflict, they generally complain a lot. But what we can listen for is, what are they asking for? What's the request? And then answer that. Now, technique number seven is, when you're speaking, don't complain, but rather make requests. So that you first turn your complaints into requests. It's really a way to turn down the emotional heat in the conflict resolution, so that the other person doesn't have to wade through your emotional complaint to figure out your request.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. The truth is that when I just listen to myself and notice that I'm complaining, I can actually pull out my own request and say that.
Technique number eight is to practice forgiveness. Now, this is a tough one to do, because when we're in a fight with somebody, we're in conflict with somebody, it is tough to forgive. What I notice, though, is that the way to move it fast forward is to be the first person to authentically say, "I forgive the mistakes that have been made here." Now, this is a little tricky, because sometimes when you forgive somebody and they haven't acknowledged that they've made a mistake, there's a little bit of an insult in there. So you want to be careful to forgive people only for that which they've already agreed from their point of view was a mistake. But you can forgive yourself also, because so often we're defending ourselves because we haven't yet truly forgiven ourselves.
That's where apology would come in. When I forgive myself, I can actually apologize.
Absolutely. Now, number nine helps us to forgive, which is to put the whole problem into perspective. To really look at our whole life, the entire relationship, and see that whatever problem we're talking about here, whatever conflict we're discussing, is really just a small piece of the entire relationship. Now, in conflict, when we focus on the problem for so long, it starts to look like, feel like, and sound like it's everything in the relationship. So I'm recommending you put it into perspective. One way to do that is strategy number 10, which is to write a letter. To write a letter to the person with whom you have the conflict. First draft of the letter is just completely candid, no holds barred, say everything you want to say. And I don't recommend you send that one. And then the second letter is one that's more edited, a little more diplomatic, but still honest and authentic. It's the letter that says your point of view. Now, by the way, sometimes you don't even send that letter. It's just that by writing it, you've clarified your desires and your opinions and what you want to forgive yourself for and the other person. Now, sometimes it does make sense to send it.
Like you said before, it slows us down and we get clear as we are writing.
Yes, and the other thing that allows is for us to be more self-responsible, which brings me to strategy number 11, and that is to use I messages. And I messages are the way that we get out of blame and shame and guilt. Because generally when we use you messages, we say things like, well, you're rude, you're an idiot, you did this to me. And what's behind most of those is some kind of blaming. When I formulate an I message about what I observe and what I feel and what I want, then I really am staying in a more self-generative, self-responsible point of view. Not blaming the other, but speaking about me. Again, what I see out there and what I want differently and how I feel about it all.
Okay, we have 11 strategies, but sometimes even all that doesn't work.
Which brings me to strategy number 12, and that is to use a mediator, is to get a third party involved, because sometimes conflict is so tense, so difficult, that it's like two countries at war. And when two countries are at war, what they do is they bring in a mediator. They bring in a team of people to talk to one side and then talk to the other side and talk to the other side and then talk to the other side. And we can even do that at work. I've done it a lot with my coworkers. I've done it with married couples. My wife and I have had mediators get involved because sometimes conflict gets so tense that sometimes it really helps to have a third party involved to point out both sides and to assist in mediating the conversation.
I can see that what I would want is the mediator to have all these strategies.
Yeah, well, exactly. And so when we put all these into effect, and I know that's a lot of information, or even some of these into effect, because you don't need to use them all, then I believe that we can move from the conflict to the resolution.
This is the conclusion of the audio presentation of the success strategy, Listen Fully. This was an excerpt from the 14-part audio version of the Falling Awake workshop. Dave, if this was valuable for the listener, what else is available?
There are 11 other programs that follow the other success strategies in Falling Awake. There's also one complete version of the entire workshop on audio. We also have the workshop on videotape, both in a 12-hour version and in a condensed 2-hour version. All of these are linked to the book Falling Awake, which can be purchased either in a paperback version or it can be read entirely on our website. Now, the website at fallingawake.com contains not only the book, but a comprehensive life planning program, which is a way to do exactly what we've talked about during this program, except on the computer. Also on the website is a wake-up call service, which is a way for you to be reminded either by a telephone or fax or pager what you want to remember, what's important in your life. Also on the website is a networking bulletin board and an online journaling system, and a way to stay in contact with us, because that's what we want you all to do, is to stay in touch with us so we know what's working, what's not, and how we can improve our services. Because all of this is designed with one purpose in mind, which is to assist you to dramatically and permanently improve the quality of your life.
This program was produced by Breakthrough Enterprises Incorporated, located at 13179 Baker Park Road in Rapid City, South Dakota, zip code 57702. We wish to thank the participants of the Falling Awake Workshop who brought realism to this program by their willingness to share their life stories. We also thank the people at Lynn Productions who recorded and edited this audio program. Thanks also to the life coaches and the staff of Breakthrough Enterprises Incorporated and the Brand Foundation who contributed their time and expertise to this program. More information about Falling Awake and Dave Ellis's other books can be found at www.fallingawake.com.